Yeah, so this week is Parshas Noach. Eile told us Noach, these are the generations, these are the chronicles of Noach. Noach is tzaddik, tomim hoi b'dorois of Noach, is a tzaddik, and he is perfect in his generation. God says to Noach, Haseh lecho tevas, Hatzeh goifa, make yourself a box, an ark of gopher wood, and he gives him the instructions that the flood is coming. So, Noach, the Torah tells us, is Ish Tzadik Tomim. Ish we know is Moshe, Moshe Ho Ish, Kizeh Moshe Ho Ish. Moshe is called the man, also called Ish Elikim. Tzadik we know is Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik. Tomim is Yaakov. Yaakov Ish Tom, Yoshev HaHolim. So these three personalities are there in Noach, trying to come into the world. There's an interesting Medrash Tanchuma, it's very long. I hope you'll forgive me for reading it, but it's one of those kind of seminal Midrashim. Ela told us Noach, this is the third Medrash Tanchuma this week. Eile told us Noach, Noach. These are the generations of Noach, Noach. Yisborach Shmo Yishemelech Malcham Lochem, blessed is the name of the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shebocha B'Yisroel B'Shivim Umois, who chose Israel out of the 70 nations, as it's written, Kichelik Hashem Amoi, God's portion is his people. Yaakov, Chevel Nachlosa, Yaakov is the chain of his inheritance. V'nosan lo nesa toiru b'chsav, Rishumoi, and he gave us the Torah written in his own particular handwriting, beremes tzfunois, with these secret mysteries, ustumois, and closed, uparshum, and God explained them, betoyer shebal peh, in the oral Torah, v'gila oisam nisrael, and he revealed them to Israel, v'loi oida, not just that, ela shetoyer shebichsav, klolois, the Torah, the written Torah, the Torah which is Sinai, this is the Torah of generalities, the Torah Shebal Peh, but the Torah, the oral Torah, protos, is the details. Torah Shebal Peh Harbe, there's a lot of oral Torah, the Torah Shebichsav Ma'at, and there's only a little bit of Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. Well, Torah Shebal Peh Nema Arukum Eretz Midah, and it's about this oral Torah that the verse says it is long, its measure is longer than the earth, Urechovim in Yam, and broader than the ocean. It's written, Loisimotze be'eretz ha'chaim, it cannot be found in the land of the living. Whoa, my Loisimotze be'eretz ha'chaim, do you mean you can't find the Torah in the land of the living? V'chi be'eretz ha'meisim to us, you can find it in the land of the dead? No, elo, Shaloitimotze Torah shebal peh etzel mishi yevakish oyneko oylam tava v'chove de gdula bo'olam hazeh. You can't find the oral Torah by somebody who's trying to get pleasure out of the world with lust and honor and greatness. You can only find the oral Torah by somebody who's ready to die for it. This is the law, somebody who dies in the tent. So the Torah, you can only get the Torah if you're ready to die. And this is how the Torah is acquired. The Mishnah says, "Pas b'melech toichol, bread and salt, mayim b'msura tishte, and water in a measure. V'alo aretz tishan, yet sleep on the floor, v'chai tzatir, and tichya, and it's going to be a life of pain, of a Torah ato omel, and you're working in the Torah. Lefi, because, shalekorz takodesh baruch hu brisim Yisrael, ela ala Torah shebal peh. God only made the covenant with the Jewish people about this oral Torah, shenema al pi hadvorim ha'ele kurati yitchobris. On these words of mouth, I cut a covenant with you. And the Chazal say, loy kosev ha'kodesh baruch hu ba'toyre l'man ha'dvorim. He doesn't say, for the sake of these words. V'loy ba'avu dvorim ha'ele, not because of these words. V'loy biglal dvorim ha'ele, not as a consequence of these words. Ela al pi hadvorim ha'ele. Al pi, it's got to be by the mouth. So this is the oral Torah. It's hard to learn. V'yesh bo tzar godel, there's a lot of pain in it. Shehi meshula lachoshech, because the oral Torah is compared to darkness. Shenem, as it is written, ha'om ha'olchim b'choshech, the people who go in darkness, ro'ol oyer godel, they see great light. Who is this? Elu balei ha'talmud. This is the masters of Talmud, sh'ro'u oyer godel, who saw the great light. Sh'akadosh Baruch Hu meir eneihem, because God enlightens their eyes, be'isa v'heter, in what's permitted, what's disallowed, tome v'tohor. Lo'osid lo'ba, in the future, it's written, v'oyhavav ketzeis ha'shemesh b'gvorosai, and those who love him will go out like the sun in its power. V'lekiblu Yisrael es ha'toyre, and the Yidden didn't accept this Torah, until God had held the Mount Sinai over them like a barrel, as it is written, and they stood beneath the mountain. God said to them, to the Yidden, if you take the Torah, if you accept it, mutav, good. If not, I'm going to bury, this is going to be your burial place. If you say that God held the mountain over them, forcing them to accept the Torah because of the written Torah, when God asked them, are you going to receive the Torah? They all said, yeah, we will do, we will listen. Why? Because you don't have to struggle. There's no pain. What's the big deal in Scripture? Elo omelen, so why does God have to force them? Ala Torah shebal peh, this is because of the oral Torah. Mipnei she'ein bo, sheyesh bo dikduke mitzvahs, because it's so finickety, and kalis v'chamuros, and there are easy ones, heavy ones, hard ones. V'hi azu kamoves, and it is as powerful as death. And the oral Torah is as jealous as the grave. Because the only people who learn the Torah Shebaal Peh are those who love God with his heart and his soul and all his all. Shenema, as it is written, they say in the Shema, love God with your heart, all your soul, all your everything. How do you know that this is referring, this love that we're talking about in the Shema really means learning the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah? So the Medrash brings a proof. What does it say afterwards? Let these words which I am teaching you today be on your heart. Well, what could that be? The Talmud, Shu Alef. It could only be the Talmud, the oral Torah, which you can say it's on your heart. And then what does it say? Teach them to your children. This is the Talmud which requires Shinun, which is the sharpening of the teeth, l'lamedcho, to teach you, sheparsha rishoyne shebikriya shema. So now the Medrash says, you know, the first, there's two parshas in the Shema, there's the Shema and then v'hoyim shemoya. If you listen, and then I'll give you the rain and its time and everything. So in the first parsha of the Shema, ein bo perish matan schora bo'ilam hazeh, it doesn't say any reward. K'mo shekosu v'parsha shniya. The second parsha tells you what you're going to get. And if you listen, I'm going to give you the rain. So this is the matan sechar. This is the reward for somebody who learns the Torah shebichsav, the written Torah. This is not referring to people who learn the Talmud. And also in the second parasha of the Shema, it says, b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem, with all your heart, all your soul. V'leikosu b'chol mo'edchem, doesn't say with all your all. L'lametcho, this comes to teach you, shikol mi she'oyev oyshe v'tanik, that if you're interested in this life, in this world at all, wealth, pleasure, en yochol l'lmet Torah shebaal peh, you're not going to get it. You can't learn this oral Torah. L'fi sheyesh bo tzar godol, because in this oral Torah there's great pain. v'nidud sheina, and this sleeplessness. V'yesh mevalo menabel atzmo eleo, and a person has to like wear himself out and make himself just completely disgusting in order to learn this Torah. So the reward for learning Torah Shebaal Peh is in the world to come. So the first parsha of the Shema is referring to the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's why it doesn't promise a reward in this world. The second, it tells you it's going to rain, but the second doesn't demand b'chol ma'oidcha. It just levavcha v'nafshecha. Your heart and soul you have to put in. That's the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. Ubachol moidecha, and all your all. That's the Talmud. That's what we're doing here. That's the oral Torah. And for that, there's even no reward promised, because it's only the reward in the world to come that could possibly recompense a person for the kind of struggle and life and pain and toil and sleeplessness that they're going to have to go through in order to acquire it. Shenema, the people who are going in darkness, ro'u or godol, they saw the great light. Or godol, what is the great light? Or shenivro b'yom arishon, this is the light which God created on the first day. Shigonzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'amolei Torah Shebaal Peh b'yom u'b'layla, he hid it. Says vayihi oir, and there was light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So the light was immediately put away. For whom? For the future. For whom? For those who learn and toil this oral Torah day and night. Shebizchusan oilam oimed. It's only in their merit that the world stands. Shenemar koyamar Hashem. So says God. Im loy brisi yoimim v'layla. If not for my covenant day and night, chukos shemayim v'oretz lo yisamti, I wouldn't have established the laws of heaven and earth. So what is this covenant of day and night? Zu Talmud. This is the oral. And so it says, Koyamar Hashem im toferu es brisi, if you break my covenant, hayoim of the day, ves brisi halailo, on the covenant of the night, gam brisi tufa es David, I'm going to break my covenant with David, my servant. It's only in the Torah of God that his desire lies. In his Torah, he toils day and night. God also makes a covenant with the Eden. God makes a covenant that this Torah, this oral Torah, will never be forgotten. Mipihem, from their mouths, mipizaram, and their children, ad soif kaladoris, until the end of all generations. Shenema, as it's written, we say in davening, vani zois brisi oisam Hashem, this is my covenant with them, says God, ruchi asher olecho, this spirit that's upon you, udvorai shesamti b'fich, and the words that I put into your mouth, lo yamushu, they will not move, mipicha, from your mouth, children, it doesn't say from you, Elo mipicho, from your mouth, mipi zaracho, the mouth of your children, umipi zera zaracho, from the mouth of your children's children. This is the verse in Isaiah. Lefikach kaba kodesh baruch hu shtei yeshivos. Therefore, God established two yeshivos. I think the Medrash is referring to the yeshivos of Nahardaa and Pumpedis in Babylon. Because in Babylon, in these yeshivas of Nahardaa and Pompidisa, they were learning Torah day and night, and all the sages would gather twice a year, from all the places, and they would give and take in this war of Torah, until they established the law, in the true halacha, and they would bring proofs from scripture, in a Mishnah, in a Talmud, from the Mishnah and from the Gemara, so that the Yidden shouldn't stumble. Great peace to those who love your Torah, and there's no stumbling. Hashem oiz la'am yitain, God bless, gives power, strength to his people. Hashem yivorches hamim vashulam, and he blesses them with peace. Vo'oisem shtei yeshivois, and those two yeshivois of Nahardaa and Pumpedisa, loy ro'u shevi, they never saw any kind of attack. Nobody was ever taken prisoner from there. They were never raided or pillaged Veloishmad, and never there was any forced conversions Veloisholal, and they were never, nobody ever robbed them and invaded them Veloisholat behem lo Yovan, and the Greeks never had any power over them Veloi Edom, the Romans never had any power Veloitziana Kodesh Baruch Hashem. So I think this is proof that this is quite an early Medrash, because they are long gone. But in the time of Rabbi Tanchuma, this is how it was, that the yeshivas of Babylon, of Nardan Pompidisa, they were like ivory towers that were above world politics. And God took these yeshivas from Jerusalem 12 years before the temple was destroyed, b'toyroson and b'talmudon, with their Torah, with their students, with their rabbis, shikach ksiv, it's written, v'heglo es kol Yerushalayim. This is how it's written in 2 Kings. And the whole of Jerusalem was taken into exile, v'es kol asorim, all the lords, v'es kol giboir echayel, all the champions of the army, aseres alofim goyla, 10,000. Prisoners, v'chol achoresh v'hamazger, and all the carpenters and the locksmiths, v'leinisha zulas dalas amoris. The only people who were left in Jerusalem were the impoverished peasants. So the Medrash says, v'chima gvura yesh b'vnei odom ha'holchem b'goyel. Are you calling them the champions of the army? What great strength did they have if they're being led into exile? So we're not talking about the soldiers, Elen Giboyri Torah, we're talking about the great champions of Torah, Shekach Nemaba, brings a verse to prove Al Kenyom Sefer Melchamos Hashem, that in the book of the chronicles of the war of God. So it's talking about the Torah. Umitoichen Achorosh Vahamazgir. So what do we mean by the carpenters and the locksmith? Chorosh doesn't mean carpenter, it means the silent ones. Shebisho she'echad me'em medaber, when one scholar speaks, nasu kulan k'charshin, they all are silent, like dumb people. Mazger, what does it mean, the locks? Kiven she'echad me'em soiged divrei tumah v'tahara, or yisav het, if one of them locks the halacha, says tomei, or tahor, or osur, or mutzah, ein bo'el m'shichu liftoich l'talahat, nobody can unlock it. To say the opposite, l'kaim shema shenema, to fulfill what it says, v'nosati mafterch beis David al shichmoy, I will give the key to the house of David, to him to carry on his shoulders, v'posach, and he'll open it, v'ein soga, nobody can lock it, v'soga, and he'll lock it, v'ein besech, nobody can open it, posach, and yishai. V'es ele he'oretz lokach, and the lords of the land he took, elu chore Yehuda, these are the noblemen of Judah, binyomin sh'alein, nema koyamar Hashem, God says, kata'enim ha'toivois, like these great dates, figs, ho'oile, that come up, these huge fig trees, ken akiz golas Yehuda, so I'm going to recognize the golas of Yehuda, asher shalachti min ha'mokem hazeh, eretz kazdim, to the land of Chaldees. Chsiv v'yishkoid Hashem al ha'ro. So now the Medrash brings another verse. So God was diligent about the evil that he'd promised, vayivyeho aleinu, and he brought it upon us, ki tzadik Hashem lekenu, because God is a tzadik. So, verse in Daniel. So the Medrash says, v'chimishum de tzadik Hashem, because God our Lord is a tzadik, so therefore he was diligent to bring all this evil on us, and he brought it on us. Elu tzedoko se kodesh baruch. So the answer is that God was diligent because he took us into exile before we went into exile. Shehigdim v'higlo, so he took the yeshivas of Yechonio 12 years before Tzidkio was taken into exile, so that the oral Torah should not be forgotten. And they sat there in their yeshivas learning Torah in Bovel, in Babylon, min oisar shada yom, from that time until today. And neither Rome nor Greece was able to harm them, and they didn't force convert them, and even in the days of the coming of the Messiah, they don't have to go through the birth pangs of the Messiah. Ho Zion, you will be able to flee from Rome and from Greece, from their decrees. You can groan daughter of Zion, like a woman giving birth. Because you're going to go out of the city and you're going to dwell in the field. It doesn't say v'shechant, really. It's actually written v'shechanti, and I will dwell, says God. My shechina will be in the field, which is in Babylon. She'afal pisha odam goyle basodi, even though a person is in exile in the field, shechinosi loizozam imech, my shechina has not moved an inch away from you. Uboz ad bovel, and there she'll come to Babylon, shom tinotzeli, and there you will be saved, shom yigolech Hashem, and God will redeem you, mikaf oivech, from the palm of your enemy, lelamedcho, to teach you, shemisham mascheles hageula, that the redemption is going to start from there, from wherever it is in Babylon that the oral Torah is being studied. Umisham olim Yerushalayim, and from there we're going to go to Jerusalem. Shenema v'olim Mishimat Zion, we're going saved onto the mountain of Zion. Oisa Shor, and in that hour v'hoisa l'Hashem amlucha, God will have the sovereignty. V'chen hirotze, and so let it be. So this is the Medrash Tanchuma. It's a very fascinating Medrash Tanchuma, but first the question is, what does it have to do with Parshas Noach? Why is this Eile Toldos Noach Noach, and then Baruch Shemai Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah? And it's really in classic literature, this is a paean in praise of the oral Torah, that it even goes so far as to belittle the written Torah in order to emphasize the greatness. You know, it dismisses the written Torah as, it's easy, it's short, it's little, and then emphasizing the difficulty. One of the things that's really interesting is twice the Medrash talks about choshech, that the Torah shebaal peh is darkness. And only in the future God is going to reveal. You could say that if you're really in the oral Torah, then you're already in that future. But that when God said, "Let there be light," that light is then immediately hidden, vayihi or, and it was. So it's hidden. The only way that it can be reached again is through the Torah Baal Peh, through this oral Torah. And with what we were saying last week, that the Rotzein HaPoshet, the simple desire, is the wall of darkness that hides that great light. We can maybe understand. You know, the Ishbitzer says this week, Eile Toldos Noach, he says the entire story of the ark, including every detail, is a metaphor. And he says, Inyan ateva shenosan Hashem yisbarach, the whole reason for this ark is that God is giving everybody, because you know, in Ishbitz, there's no such thing as history. The Torah is not a history. The Torah is a map. It's more like a geography. Right, every human being goes through every sedra in their lifetime, and we all have, you know, the whole of the Torah is nitzchi, it's eternal, and so it applies to every human being all the time. So he says, just as the ark is given to Noach as a way of protecting him, b'yemei hazam, in the days of fury, everybody who thinks or feels that they are living in this world, in this fast and furious world, is given the teva, is given this ark in which to take refuge. So the Ishbitzer gives a real interesting clue. What does it mean when you're living in the furious world that you need a teva? He says there are three. The Gemara says that there are the Tana de Be'elyor. There's a Gemara in Psochim. The Gemara in Psochim says there are three people that God loves. Misha'ena koyas, whoever does not allow himself to get swallowed up in rage. Ve'ena mishtake, somebody who doesn't allow himself to be intoxicated. U'misha ma'avir al midoisav, and somebody who's ready to be flexible and is ready to let go of whatever it is that he's at, wherever it is that he's stuck. So it doesn't mean anger. You know, anger is not rage. Chaos that we talk about here is when, yeah, anger has a function. It's there to tell us something is wrong. Somebody's done something, said something, somebody's about to invade a boundary, whatever it is. When we're angry, something has happened, our body is telling us, our mind is telling us, pay attention. When I allow my endocrinal system, right, my adrenaline to kick in around my anger, it becomes rage. And I'm out of control, right? I'm ready to do things that are that I wouldn't do. Mishtaker, intoxication. See, really, I don't know whether we ever talked about this before, but these three things really represent the three great sins for which a person is supposed to die rather than to transgress. Right? So there's Gilui Arois, sexual sins, the Shvichas Damim, murder, and Avodah Zarah, idol worship, idolatry. So these three things, rage is connected, chaos means that I am ready to defend my boundaries even if it means I kill somebody, right? Rage. You did this to me, I'm enraged. Gilarois, Shikrus, means when I'm intoxicated, it means you don't have any boundaries so far as I'm concerned, right? So all the sexual sins and everything comes from this intoxication, right? So it's the opposite of rage. Rage means that I'm ready to defend my boundaries even if they're crazy or whatever, they're imaginary, but even if at any cost, right? So nothing I'm not ready to do, to even murder, right? And shikrus, intoxication, means you don't have any boundaries. Nobody has any boundaries. Anybody ever seen a drunk person walk up to a sober person and put his arm around him and breathe in his face and try and tell him the secrets of their view? You know that the whole point about shikrus is that we lose our inhibitions, right? And ma'avir al midoisav, somebody who refuses to let go. You know, in wherever we are stuck in life, whenever we're stuck, we're a little bit pagan. Because being stuck means I have no faith. When I dig in my heels and I get defiant, you know, speaking for myself, the defiant little Hershey, the 8-year-old Hershey, that you know, I'm like a puppy, you know. A puppy sometimes grabs hold of a slipper or something like that, and you try and take it out of the mouth of the puppy, and the puppy, you can lift up the puppy with the slipper. It's not going to let go. It's not going to unlock his teeth, right? And, you know, it's like, that's me. I have my jaws locked. I have my mind locked. I have my soul, my fingers, my everything is locked. And you can pick me up by the issue and shake me until, you know, until the wax flies out of my ears, but I'm not letting go because I'm defiant. That's the meaning of Eina Maver al Midoisav, somebody who's not capable of being flexible, right? And mostly, of course, all these things that we're talking about, whether it's rage or shikrus, or intoxication, or being stuck, you know, these are all around the issues that we've talked about so many times, you know, about being resentful in the past and not being able to let go, and scared of the future and becoming enraged at what we think is going to happen, and then, you know, just sliding out of it of the situation on this intoxication where, you know, mind over matter, right? I don't mind, you don't matter. So, Shloisha Kodesh Baruch Hu Oyavon, three God loves. Mishenim Mishtake is somebody who doesn't get drunk, somebody who doesn't get enraged, and somebody who does Mavir al Midoisav. And then, of course, we find Noach. Noach motzo chen. The Torah tells us, and Noach found chen in the eyes of God. Grace. So, that's another way of saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh yeah, boy, God loves him. So, we know that God loves him because Einu Mishtake ve'einu Koyes Mava Midoisav. And then, of course, we find at the end of the Parsha, what happens? Noach gets drunk, and he gets angry, and he gets stuck. He won't relent. And in Ishbitz, he sees this as a good thing, because Noach was no longer in the darkness. So long as we're in the darkness, we're not able to afford shikras. We're not able to afford intoxication, we're not able to afford rage. Once a person has reached shleimus, once a person has reached some kind of a completion, a wholeness, there's a place for rage, there's a place for drunkenness, and there's a place for digging in your heels in defiance. Noach reached that place, but first he had to go through the teva. So, what is it about this sedra that brings all this Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, which has all this choshech, which has all this darkness, right? And it's clear to me, it's clear that the chaos, the rage, and the shikrus, the intoxication, and the stuckness of Eino Yochel La'avor Al Midoisav, this is another form of the darkness, right? So we know that Adam and Chava were separated 130 years, and Adam sat up to his knees in the river, like the Gemara says, and basically all the seed that should have gone into Chava goes, this is this river that's pouring out from him. And there are two metaphors that are being used. One is the metaphor of the river, and one is this baking hardness, right, which is Adam's sexuality, which is not going into the right place. And so you have here in this week's Sedra, you have these two metaphors again of the drowning. All these souls are drowning. And then later in the Sedra with the Dora Flogo, they try and make this giant penis to penetrate the heavens with their bricks, which they bake, which, again, this red hardness, another, just the same sexual metaphor over again. And the Gemara says, Minayin remez l'moshe min ha-Torah, where is there a hint to Moshe in ha-Torah? It's a very, very interesting Gemara, right? In other words, where is there a hint to Moshe in Breishis? Because we know that from Shmois onwards, he appears in every Seder except one. So, where is there a hint to Moshe? So, in last week's Sedra, God says, "Lo yodun ruchi bir." I can't stand man living, 900,000 years. It's too long. I can't be that patient with human beings. B'shagam hu bosa, because he's just flesh. And the Gemara says, so therefore, the days of a person are 120 years. Well, who's 120 years? Moshe Rabbeinu. And this word b'shagam is 345, which is Moshe, Beis Shin Gimel Mem. So Moshe is trying to be born in this generation of Noach. And what happens? He has to drown. Because the Torah, which comes out of the darkness, which is the, we were saying yesterday, last week we were saying this awareness of our desire, which is You know, just as there is a God-shaped hole in us, there is this man-shaped hole in God, which is the window in the wall of blackness. And Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to be born because this is the only way of fixing the split between Adam and Chava, between, you know, the wholeness and the brokenness. And it doesn't work. He gets drowned. He gets drowned, and all the souls of all of us who are trying to be born. Because the Torah Sheba'al Peh, this Torah that you and I, that we're learning, this is that fixing. And then, again, after the flood, again, it says that they came to the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar, the Gemara says, Mokem Shinanaru may say, Mabel, this is the deep place in Babylon on this huge plain where all the dead from the flood, they all gathered there and they rotted there and this and that. That's where they decided to build the Tower of Babel. And again, why in Babel? And this is the connection with this Medrash. The Medrash is telling us it's only in Babel, it's only in Babylon that the Torah Sheba'al Peh can reside. And even in the time of Noach already, the Torah Sheba'al Peh needed to come out. But it couldn't, because the generations hadn't gone through their darkness, they hadn't gone through their floods, they hadn't gone through the trials of fire. And it's interesting that Moshe again is trying to be born, and again he's trying to be born, and finally we get to Egypt. And what do we have in Egypt? We have both metaphors. We have the drowning, and we have the brick making, and this, the hardening of the flesh with the redness and the heat and this, and then the drowning of the sperm that comes out. This is the same metaphor all over again. And then finally, we get Moshe. And Moshe does lead us out of there. And all the souls of Adam and Rishon that should have been born through Chava with love, they're not. And all you can say is that this is the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. That there has to be, you know, the mayim, there has to be the drowning in the water of the Torah. And then there has to be the libun, there has to be the getting red hot. The libun hilchaser, right? Kal v'choyme, libun hilchaser, b'choyme levenim, that the bricks and the mortar that we worked with in Egypt, now we're working with, this is what we're working with. And it's only with the heat of passion, like the Gemara says, Haitzubu de Rabbonon, these scholars de Roscha that get red hot. It's Oiraisa de Merasch, it's the Torah that's making them red hot because they're so passionate. Because V'yahavtus Hashem Lekecha, loving God means learning the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And this you can only do in Bovel, which means to that low place. It's interesting that the Kimitzio in Teitzei Torah, even though it tells us that the Torah is going to come from Tzion, which is a mountain, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, and the word of God comes from Yerushalayim, nevertheless, the Torah Sheba'al Peh has to come from that deep place, from Eretz Shinar, that Babylonian plateau, which the Medrash said at the final end, that is the field, the Shachanti. And then you're going to go out in the field, v'shachant basod, and you're going to dwell. And the Medrash says that really, it's the Kri is v'shachanti, that the Shekhinah says, God says, I'm going to go out there into that field and be with you. And I just want, I'm not even sure how Noach Tzadik Ish Tomim, that these three Madregas of Ish, Noach Ish Tzadik Tomim, that Ish is Moshe and Tzadik is Yosef and Yaakov is Tomim, but we know that Yosef didn't get drunk until it says that he drank with his brothers after he was reunited with them and Binyamin, right? Until all those 22 years, that he'd been separated from them. He didn't drink. And then it says that he drank. And Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a feeling that besides these three things of rage and drunkenness, intoxication and being stuck and defiant, besides these being these three madregos of Tiferes and Das and Yisod, right? That the tree of life, you know, Moshe is the inside of Tiferes, Yaakov is the outside of Tiferes, and Yosef is Yisod, and this is the center column of the Sefiras. This is the Eitz HaChaim, you know, that somehow that they are connected, and that as soon as we are unbalanced, as soon as we don't feel serenity and we need a place to run, right? We feel like we're living in this fast and furious world, and we can't find serenity because we keep getting caught up in our rage, in our intoxication, in our stuckness. That we have to find the noyach in us, and the noyach is really simple. Ele toildos, if you want to get to that noyach, there has to be this serenity. And noyach motzachin. And the serenity is what gets the grace, and so therefore there's this hagona, this protection. How it works out in Yaakov and Moshe and Yosef, these three things, I'm not exactly sure, but I have a feeling that they're all tied together. And the Torah Shebaal Peh that we're learning, really, the Midrash is saying to us that the Torah Shebaal Peh that we're learning is this darkness that we face, where the desire, the rotzen ha'poshut, the simple desire that we feel, that we encounter, and then we encounter the darkness that blocks us from the source, from the mokor of the rotzen and the bala rotzen, and somehow our desires feel, it feels as though as our desires are cutting us off from the light, cutting us off from God. And in fact, you know, that's the illusion that we have to get past, and we can only get past it if we stay serene, and we don't, you know, and we don't get enraged, and we don't go flying off in intoxication, and we prepare to move and not be stuck. That is the real meaning of the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's really what we're here to learn. And you know, in the time of the Midrash, it was to learn the Gemara and to learn the Talmud, and he keeps on calling it the Talmud, but it means the learning. We need to keep on learning. We need to learn who we are. That's the Talmud.